Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thanks so much for tuning in to this week's version of Raising Expectations. And you know what our show is all about? We hope that each week when you're with us, you'll go away with your expectations raised. We're people of faith. We believe in God and what the Lord Jesus Christ, His Son, did for us. And it's Christmas. When we say Merry Christmas to everybody, it's the birth of the Savior that we celebrate, and we're excited to be with you tonight. You being with us makes it all worth it, and the things that you send in and the things you share are such a blessing. So, hey, without slowing down too much, because we've got a great, great program for you tonight, as we always do, I want you to meet the guys and know them right up, straight front, in the beginning. First of all, you know, on our program tonight, we have our co-hosts. They're fantastic. I'm Joe Schofield. My life is blessed by these men, and I can't wait to share them with you. First of all, we have Dr. Paul Hall, who's a retired pastor, but not a retired theologian, because all through the week, he...
Theologues
all week, and that's right. And theologues, a big word. Don't try it. It's really difficult, but he knows how to do it really well. So he's always praying for and praying with, and we pray for him. It's great to see what God does in Paul's life. It's even greater to see what he does through Paul's life for so many people. Also, we have with us Stephanie and Craig Thayer. That's from, Paul's in Lompoc, California. Did I say that right? Lompoc. Yippee-yi-yay, I forget. I'll get it right. Lompoc, Cowboys. Still don't have it, Craig. But from there all the way to the East Coast, we have the Thayers. And tonight, Stephanie's not able to be with us, but Dr. Craig is with us. And you all know Dr. Craig. He's been with us since the beginning of our program. And he is a trauma surgeon and a health worker with his wife, who's an incredible health coach and helps you to see what's good to eat, but much more than that, how God made you and how that works. And a trauma surgeon, as you know, folks, when there's a detailed situation, when there's an emergency or something, Craig is the doctor that is there for these situations. And what I love about him is he always says, as we've shared before, when he gets ready to go into surgery, he always says, "Lord, you've laid this life in my hands. Give me the ability now to do what you would have me to do to save this life." And Craig, I want to be with you when, if any time is needed in my life. So we'll just get hold of you at that time. Love you, brother. Glad you're here too. Also,
I'll send you a check.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'll send mine in the mail. No problem. Is there still mail? Yeah, I think there is.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's all the way in Georgia. And Dalton, Georgia. And we're so thankful for the Thayers. Paul's in Lompoc, California.
Right.
Finally got it. Okay. And then all the way in Central America, in Texas, the great state of Texas, in McKinney, we have one of our favorite pastors in the world, our brother in Christ, Pastor Ron Greer, who is a speaker with Men on the Mirror out of Florida. It's kind of like Promise Keepers, only he just talks to, builds up, and coaches men to become godly men that they need to be. And he is... He's just so shy. We've worked very hard to get him out of his shell. And we're doing pretty good, right, guys? He's coming along pretty good. Yeah, that's right. Love you, brother.
I'm working on it.
Yeah, you're working on it. That's right. Amen. All right. And so tonight, without any further ado, just because we are excited to have with us, we have all the way from Central America, again, state of Texas, not far from Houston. Yeah, there you go, Ron. Two Rons from Houston, or two Rons from Texas. There we go. Two for Texas. Ron is a, I hope you saw some of the material that we put up this week. Ron is a very special guy. He's a journalist, an associate editor. He's been of a retail magazine, a trade magazine. He was a combat correspondent and a photographer of the United States Army. He received two Bronze Stars, which I really didn't know. I found out more about that today. And he writes way out of the box because he writes from a great heart where the Lord lives. I've known Ron many years, and Ron is one of those guys who says and lives what he believes and knows in his relationship with Jesus Christ. And so Ron is the author also of, I'm going to show you a couple of books here, Wayne's Angel. Now, this is going to be a trilogy. You could say more about it for you in just a minute here. But this is the second, the first of the trilogy, if I've got it right. And the second one of the trilogy is called Betwixt. So you've got here, and then you've got Betwixt. The rest of the story is coming. He'll share a word with that, and we'll let you know how to get that. And he also authored a great book because he's worked with single adults. He's got a pastor's heart, Finding Your Soulmate, God's Way. Can you imagine that, guys? God's got a way to find a soulmate. He thinks of everything, doesn't he? And Ron just wrote it down for us in this book. It's fantastic. I love one of his quotes. Forgiveness is giving up your right to hate someone for hurting you. Mm-hmm. I like that. That reminds me of what Christ did for me in Romans. And while I was still yet a sinner, he died for me. So that's what it's about. So now, although we're going to do something fun today, we're going to have Ron talk a little bit about his testimony. He's just going to say it's an incredible story that he shared with me. And then he'll share that for about 10 or 12, 15 minutes. Then he's going to open it up, guys, for you to share and talk with him about. And then we'll open it up to some questions about what he's doing now, because he's ministering in an incredible church. I'll let him tell you all about it. So I'm all done, guys. I'm going to pitch it out there to you. And I don't know any group of guys and one special lady in the world I'd rather have anybody talk to than you guys. So, Ron, welcome to Raising Expectations all the way from Texas. And we welcome you. Welcome aboard, partner.
Well, it's my honor and privilege to be here among all these fine Christian gentlemen, and it's a pleasure meeting you. I told Joe about my testimony, and it's actually rather incredible. And if it hadn't happened to me, I wouldn't tell anybody. But when I was 9 years old, I was in a little Baptist church in Waco, Texas, because we were living, my mother and two sisters and I was living with my aunt and uncle, because my real dad took off. And both my mom and my aunt are very spiritual women, they were. And I was baptized in that little Baptist church when I was 9 years old. A year later, when I was 10 years old, on an April spring afternoon, I was walking home from school. I was walking across the big field there in Waco called Richfield. And people would dump stuff there all the time. And for a 10-year-old boy, it was like a treasure hunt every day. We'd find old rusted screwdrivers and all that. Just having a ball. And all of a sudden, I stopped in the middle of that field. And I went, something is not right. And I got goosebumps. And in a split second, I was just enveloped and a fleshy colored mist, like I was inside of a cocoon. And it scared the daylights out of me. I mean, I was 10 years old. I had no earthly idea what was happening. But immediately I looked up inside of this, and I saw just hundreds of broken golden threads coming down from above through me. And at that point, I saw, I felt, and I experienced the greatest love and the feeling of comfort I ever felt in my life. I didn't understand it, but it was happening. And all I knew is I didn't ever want it to go away. And at that point, this whole thing only lasted a few seconds. And at that point, there was a still, small voice that said, "You're here for a reason." And it went away. That was it. Well, I stood there for a moment because I couldn't figure out what was happening. I was 10 years old. So I ran home. My aunt was ironing, and I came up to her and I said, "Aunt Ford, let me tell you what happened." And I told her the story, and she patted me on the head. She said, "Ron, you have such a vivid imagination." Okay. My mother came home from work. I told her the story. And I tell that story to this day, the same word, same way. And my mother patted me on the head and said, "Ron, you have such a vivid imagination." So being 10 years old, I thought, well, grown-ups know best. But I kept thinking to myself, but it was so real. Well, so much for that. I just went on with my life. When I was 15, 16 years old, I started playing football, dating girls, and kind of told God, "Thank God, I'll take it from here."
Yeah.
Okay, now let's skip forward 14 years. I'm 24 years old. I'm in Vietnam. I was not walking with the Lord at all. And I'm going to make this the short version.
Right.
I got a chance to leave my battalion, and actually I lay off, to go on a special mission up around Laos. And at that time, I thought I was Rambo, 9'9" and bulletproof. And I got on this plane. I had to just kind of fake it with people in my battalion. I was supposed to be gone for 3 days to complete this mission. Correspondent and photographer. I got on a C-123, and we started spiraling down between mountains on three sides to hit this brand newly made runway at a place called Camp Duff. You can look up the Mirakala Vision. That's it. And the moment I stepped off that plane, I went, "Me and my big mouth." I've been in country 6 or 8 months, and I was used to a certain amount of danger. But when there's mountains on three sides and you're down in the valley and everything there had been destroyed. Mm-hmm. 2 years prior, a Green Beret detachment had been completely overrun by the NVA all up in those mountains. And the Air Force did a B-52 bomb strike. And the only thing that was there is a newly made airstrip. And that was it. There was bombed out howitzers and bombed out road graders and big bomb holes, nothing else. No light, no buildings, no nothing. Just lots of helicopters and planes coming in. And those planes would circle between those mountains, swoop down, offload the cargo, and get out of there. That's how dangerous it was. I'd been in country 6 or 8 months. I knew that too. So when I got there, I didn't know a soul. Nobody from my battalion, my brigade. And I happened to see a 5-ton truck go by. It had a quad 50 on it. And the call sign of that truck was G55. That's very significant. And I've been on missions with those guys. There was two black soldiers, two white soldiers. As far as we were concerned, we were a band of brothers. There's no such thing as black and white in a combat zone. Amen. Just like there's no atheist in a foxhole. Well, anyway, they said, "Hey, would you like to bunk in with us? We've got a big hole in the ground. There's four of us. The hole's big enough for four. And one guy always has to be out on the gun, so you can stay with us." And I said, "Thank you." I was so glad I'd seen people that I knew, because I didn't know anybody in that bustling area. Well, the first night I was there, it rained. And when you're in a hole and it rains, it fills up full of water and you're muddy. There was no light. I couldn't see my hand in front of my face.
Wow.
And fear gripped me bad. And I said the only prayer I could remember as a child. I said, "Now lay me down to sleep." You know, that prayer. "I pray you, Lord, my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray you, Lord, my soul to keep." Because I didn't think I was going to wake up from that point. Because every single night we had 100% intel report of a massive attack. The next morning, I got up. I got my list of things to do. I started accomplishing the mission. I took pictures. I interviewed people. Went to the artillery battalion because I was in artillery. Flew door gunner in a little Hughes Loach to try to take pictures to locate a downed airman in the area. And I completed that mission in 3 days, just like I was supposed to. The problem is this. Those four men and myself have become a band of brothers. We bonded. And there was going to be a battle. And I didn't feel right leaving them. So I didn't leave that third day. I didn't leave the fourth day. The fifth day is about 6 o'clock in the evening. I had two of those guys on each side of me, two guys in front of me of the four. We were eating chow. And guess what happened? That thing happened again. That misty, fleshy colored cocoon came across me again. And in one split second, I knew what happened to me when I was 10 was no figment of my imagination. The difference is, this time, the voice was not still small voice. It was very commanding. And all it said was four words, leave this place now. And it went away. That was it. I was in mid-fight when that happened. I put my fork down. I gathered up my gear. I didn't even say goodbye. I was like a zombie. I just started walking the 300 yards to that airstrip because the last plane of the day was circling. Well, I got there right in time. I walked up the gangplank of that C-123. And the loadmaster always wants you to have orders. Where you going? Nobody said a word to me. And luckily, that plane went back to division headquarters in July. But when I got there, the man that sent me, I gave him all the film, the notes, the stories, everything I'd done. I didn't say anything about the cocoon. And I told him, I said, you owe me 57 beers. That's the scariest place I ever been in my life. So he took me to the NCO club there on that division. And I don't know how many I had, but I had plenty. And by 10:30, they rolled me in a transit barracks there at division headquarters. My fire base was 50 miles away. It was night. And at 4:30 the next morning, they woke me up, shaking me, and said, Mumford, Cam Duck just got hit 2.5 hours ago. Mm. And it just rolled off my mouth. I said, where did they come in? And he said, they started with a mortar attack, and they were trying to take out the Quad 50, but the mortar round was about 2 or 3 yards long, and it hit squarely upon the hole where the G55 guys were sleeping, and they were absolutely vaporized. And for a long time, I didn't tell anybody about it. I was not walking with God. I felt this guilt. Why me? Why me, Lord? Why'd you leave me? And that's what happened.
Wow.
So the point being, I talk to so many people that say God never speaks to me. And I tell them, if you get closer to him, you'll hear his voice. But if he wants to speak to you, I promise you, you'll know it. And I tell him that. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here.
Amen. Yeah, you can hear him when he starts talking, huh, Ron? What do you think, guys? Tank, you got a thought?
Fast forward to now. Why are you here?
Why am I here?
Yeah.
Well, to begin with, since I obeyed him and I left, I didn't come back to the Lord until I was almost 50 years old. I felt like Jacob wrestling with the angel. I fought God for a long time. And finally, I finally said, you win, Lord. And the day that I walked down that little aisle at Green Acres Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, that's after I'd taken the company public on NASDAQ. I came from a very humble, hardworking blue-collar family in Pasadena, Texas. I'd just taken that company years before, public on NASDAQ, my mother prayed and said, Lord, bring him back to you. Mm-hmm. And within a year and a half, I went from a net worth of about $18 million to bankrupt. And you know what? It told me a couple of things. God hears a mother's prayer. A mother's prayer is so powerful. And secondly, I am so glad he did. And when I walked down that aisle, I played the song Invitation that I'll never forget. It was I Surrender It All. You know, I looked up and I said, Lord, you have such a sense of humor.
Amen.
That's and that's awesome. How I came back to God.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
Amen.
Awesome.
Ron, you got a thought? Yeah.
Well, he mentioned camped up and having been in the military some of those early years. I remember all the stories from the guys coming back to Iwakuni and the base about all the craziness happening there. The Special Forces base and some of the guys that came back through hours, again, talked about the being in a fishbowl.
Yeah.
I can understand why anybody would put a base in between the mountain range and the valley there. So it kind of brings back those memories. But praise God for his sovereignty, man, over any and everything. Praise God.
I do praise God. I mean, looking back, I didn't understand it either time that mm-hmm. that happened. I understand it now. Hindsight's always
praise God. Yeah. Praise God.
Ooh. Yeah, Paul.
You know, Ron, thank you for being with us tonight. And I never know, is it appropriate to say thank you for your service? Is that still okay to say? You
know, in Texas, it is.
Thank you for being faithful to the vision that you had. I just want to punctuate something that you had to say, and I think it has some pretty profound implications just to consider. We can have life-changing experiences in a split second. Yeah. And it absolutely changes the course of our life, even though we may not understand what God is up to at the moment. Yeah. Being obedient step by step, like Tank said a little bit earlier, shining the light over there, you know, this is the way I want you to go. I know that it sounds pretty fantastic, the experiences that you had, and I liked what you said. If you'd read the story, you'd have trouble believing it, you know. but I believe it, and I believe that God is certainly unlimited in the way that He reaches out to His children, and punctuates His presence in our lives. Yeah. And your life now, looking back on that, those two experiences that you had. How has that continued to propel you into each day? You know, is it its lasting effects? How do you interpret that? You said you understood it. Can you elaborate that a little bit?
I look at every day of life now as a gift.
Okay.
God doesn't promise us tomorrow.
Right.
And it was a long time after that I watched on PBN. Jensen Franklin was talking about the Holy Spirit, and he described what happened to me to AT.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I thought that was the Holy Spirit, because he described it so well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's happened to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm so thankful. I mean, my life hasn't been a straight line. I've had really high peaks, really low valleys. I lost my only child. But I'll tell you something. God is always with us.
Mm-hmm.
He said He'd never forsake us. And every day I learn that. Mm-hmm. Every day. Thick and thin, good and bad, give Him praise. We're put on this earth to do two things. We're here to love God and love others. Mm-hmm. And serve God and serve others. Mm-hmm. Everything else just doesn't count a whole lot.
Yeah.
I know one of the great things that Ron did was working a lot with single adults who are such, you know, when I was a singles pastor, I used to say, well, the church may be the hospital where people come in time of need, but the single adult ministry is the emergency room, because they don't know who they are and they're hurting and they don't know what. And I guess one of the biggest things that I watched Ron do for a long time was take people who were hurting that badly, and rather than hitting them over the head with a 40-pound Bible and say, believe, he just said, God loves you, and so do I. Much like when you call Ron Greer, his message pops up, says, hey, I love you, man. It's good. And I've had singles say to me there at this particular church that they felt like they could be a part of God's family again because of the way that Ron would share with them. Mm. We're going to make mistakes in life, but God's going to be there to take you through them if you will listen to that voice when he speaks to you. Mm. You know, in my book, Legitimate Faith, where God really hit me with something like this, was over in Hawaii at the Sacred Falls. I'm so old now, the Sacred Falls probably more sacred now than they were. But anyway, way back when, it was just a waterfall. You went through a pineapple field to get there. So I went up there one day in a rented 65 Mustang. And I went up there to just see it. And I was by myself. The rest of the group had already come back to record with Bert Bacharach back in those days. And I went up there and I sat down. And you know what it's like when you're not listening to God or when you are fighting God. And you may not say it right to his face, but you know what you're doing. So when I think of Ron, I think of two or three things. When I sat on that rock listening, all of a sudden when you get quiet, finally, that's when God starts to talk to you. And he says something real loud like, psst, psst, you know, are you paying attention? And so you listen to him and he says, you know, I want you to do such and such and such. You're not paying attention, whatever your name is. And, you know, when God starts to say that, you try to argue with God and tell him how great you are. Look what I could do. But when you do that, it goes nowhere because God's not impressed with anything. He just loves us. So the second thing you do after you, first, you don't listen. Second, you argue. There's only one thing left to do. When you argue with God, all of a sudden he's not there anymore. It's real quiet because he doesn't pay any attention to you. It's quiet. So then there's only one thing left to do. Run. Of course, you're not running the way Joseph did to do the right, Moses rather, to do the right thing. You're just running to get away from the voice, and then it's louder than ever. And so many people that I've known have been running that course, running from God, have argued with God, have tried everything they know to get away from God, and all of a sudden, that simple thing that he says, I watched single adults share with me when I was a pastor at a specific church where Ron helped with these singles, and they would say, you know, God does love me. And I love the singles ministry. I love being part of it. And I think that's a big part of that message that he asked for you, Ron.
Yeah. When I was living in Dallas, I started going to the mega church up there. I saw on the internet an article from Christianity Today. And it said, middle-aged singles, the stepchildren of the church. And that had an impact on them.
Oh, yeah.
And you go to most churches, they have young adult singles, they have young married singles, they have married people. But you don't find many churches that have a middle-aged singles group, like 35 and over. And most of these people, men and women both, wouldn't be there single if they hadn't gotten divorces and made mistakes in their life. And I started a little ministry with four people there. And within 3 years, and it, with a lot of help from Zig Ziglar, he was such a wonderful gentleman. He went to our church. But within 3 years, we got it up to about 100 people. And people were coming from all over the metroplex. I knew about 20% of the people that were coming. And
yeah,
one Sunday, we were starting to teach the purpose driven life by Rick Warren, and 255 people showed up.
Amen.
And I just went, this is unreal. So immediately I reached out to the pastors of the church, and I said, I'm not a minister. I need your help. You need to take this group over.
Yeah.
And long story short, they wouldn't. As a matter of fact, they made us leave the campus.
Well,
and we did. But 2 years later, they asked us to come back for a series of events, and we did. And I had that ministry for about 10 years, and I learned how to do that from the best singles minister I ever met in my life. That was Ken Bromley from Green Acres Baptist Church in Howard, Texas. Did what he did, put people around a round table, had questions for them, very interactive. Because I've always said, you can't tell what's on people's minds unless you give them a chance to speak back. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we had people speaking back. And it was a wonderful ministry. And I tried 2 or 3 times to give it to, you know, an ordained minister, and 2 or 3 times I didn't want.
Well, God knew you were doing a good job, Ron. He knew you were doing a good job. Tank, Paul, Ron, you got a thought on that? You do a lot of ministry, too, along that line.
I will not say I identify.
Yeah.
I guess one of the interesting things is that I think some people miss out in church. And churches in particular, it's one thing you learn in the business world. You find out where the need is and what people value, and if you offer it, they'll come. It meets mm-hmm. their need. And quite often, I think the difference. Trying to find a gentle way of saying this. I don't know who's watching. one of the things that the churches miss is that. We assume that we have what it is people are looking for, and we are, and what they need. Right now, on some level, that's correct. The problem is we have no idea what people themselves, within themselves, what they need, and where they are. It's so we miss the mark by supplying what's not needed at the moment, or presenting in a way that doesn't meet. Where they are. So I think that's the thing that I hear from you, that you met people where they were. You actually spoke to their actual need as opposed to assuming. Yes. And I think that's the same thing that we work with churches, men leaders in particular, trying to get them to do with men. If you want to reach and minister to men, all right, find out what it is they need, what it is they're missing, and what it is they value, and then how to give it to them in the context of the Word of God, of the Scripture. Amen. You know, how does this speak to your circumstance, and then what's it look like? I'm a big proponent of a thing the old pastor told me years and years ago. He said, "Son, the gospel ain't much at all if you don't put meat on and make it walk."
Yeah, really.
If they got meat on, it ain't walking. It ain't good nobody. So yeah. I mean, his way of saying, okay, it has to be relevant to individuals where they are in the life they're living in the moment they're living in. Otherwise, it doesn't. People don't conform to a program.
That's right. Amen. God's got a plan.
So good,
that's
good,
right.
Good work, man. Good work.
Amen.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. Got
what was the most common thing you found they needed?
And what?
What was the most common thing that group needed?
You know, the thing of it is, since I only knew about 20% of the people in that group, I would stand up there never knowing what to expect. And there were people coming there with chips on their shoulders. And it was the first time, I guess, in a long time, because most Sunday school class, you know, the teacher teaches and you say a prayer and you go home. But I wanted it to be interactive. And I'll give you a perfect example, and I hope maybe this could maybe answer your question. I'd written that book, Finding Your Soulmate, God's Way. And that was, I researched the Bible. I figured God tells us everything else. Surely he'll tell us that, and he does. And I've been divorced also. So practically everybody in that room was poor. So we were talking about finding your soulmate God way, and all of a sudden this 40-something young woman held her hand up, and she said, "I have a statement to make." And I said, "The floor is yours." "Why?" And it was in a church. That's the main thing. She said, "All men are jerks." Wow. Because we had about two-thirds women and one-third men, and I could almost hear the men putting on their armor, sharpening their swords. And I just said, "Okay, stop. Okay, that's the subject." So I had two whiteboards there. And I said, "Okay, ladies, this is for you. All men are," and then I put number one, "jerks." I said, "Who else?" Lady rose her hand and said, "Have separate agendas." All right. And I mean, just one thing after the next. And you could tell they were experiencing this in their lives. So I went to the other whiteboard and I said, "Okay, man, your turn. All women are." And I thought, here we go.
Lovely and nice.
Talk about
this is fire. Not going to go well.
And the first guy wrote, said, "All women are necessary." Wow. So I wrote it down. The next man said, "All women make a house a home."
Oh, yeah.
"All women are caring, and we should listen to them more." And I was so proud of the men. They just de-escalated that. And there was a whole new atmosphere in that room. Mm-hmm. These singles have problems. They want to be heard, but they don't quite know how to figure it out. Mm. And the fact of the matter is, I just told him, I said, "You know, I've been divorced too. I haven't been very wise. I married several times. I'll say nothing bad about the young ladies that I married. I thought I was in love with them. I guess I wasn't. But I said, I wasn't doing it God's way." And the fact of the matter is, the closer you get to God and the more you listen to him, the more he will bless you and he will lead you to your soulmate. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I was astonished at the research I did for that book, because God tells us he has an answer to everything in his book. If you'll do what David said, study and meditate upon the word.
Amen.
The more you see God, the more information he gives you and wisdom.
Amen. I'm going to jump in 1 second here. Okay. Keep that thought. And just so everybody will know, we want to thank you. There have been some people who have been donating to the program, and what a blessing it is. My goodness, what a blessing it's been. But again, we want you to know before Christmas, anybody who makes a donation on our website, bbsradio.com/raising expectations. There's a little donation box there. We have a wonderful brother in Christ, great guy, great. He's one of the leading men in the field, nationally known for helping people with Medicare, Medi-Cal, all the things that are going on. And he will match that dollar for dollar because he's been on the program and he prays for us. He's a prayer warrior for us. Just want you to know that. bbsradio.com/raising expectations, plural. Beep, end of commercial. Okay, now moving right along. Tell them a little bit about the church you're in now, guys. And we've got 12 minutes here. Tell them about the Cowboy Church. This is phenomenal. He's actually in a Cowboy Church. As you can tell from looking at us, all of us are cowboys, so to speak. Yeah. That's it, Ron. That's it.
Yeah, I hear you.
Got it.
Well, I tell them one thing. I am not a cowboy.
Yeah, I know.
And after going to a mega church in Plano, Texas, where everybody wore suit and tie and 30 or 40,000 members, when I moved down to Montgomery, Texas, population was about 1,500, and I've never lived in a small town before, I through the course of elimination, I walked into a cowboy church, and it was rustic. it looked like the inside of an old saloon or something. The men had built it. And people that walked in there, this is what amazed me. It was during the summer, and people would come into that church. They would wear, especially like some of the ladies, they'd wear flip-flops and cut-off blue jeans and a T-shirt. And they'd have tattoos all over their arms.
Not tattoos.
And everybody, black, white, Asian, everybody was just walking in there, Spanish. And they were made to feel so welcome. That is the most humble church of servants I've ever been in my life. And Pastor Randy Weaver and his wife, Pastor Darla. Pastor Randy is a real cowboy. He was on the rodeo circuit. He is a world champion roper, but he was also a pastor to the cowboys.
Oh, yeah.
And he met Darla. She had been raised on a ranch. She knows more about cows than most men do. And Randy's the cowboy. Darla raises the cattle. And Lone Star Cowboy Church was started in a tent on the side, in a pasture on the side of a highway. And 15 years later, it has 3,000 members.
Wow.
And people are baptized in a horse trough. Literally. They have the greatest cowboy praise band you've ever seen. They have so many ministries. One of their ministries is called Three Cross Beef. And there's a boys' ranch near the church where that our church supplies beef to that boys' ranch and teaches the boy how to raise cattle and care for them. They also supply beef to an unwed mother's home that's not far away. And during the hurricane that hit 2 or 3 years ago here in Houston, all the men came up there to that church in their pasture land, and they set up their barbecue pits, and they fixed 6,000 meals for the homeless and first responders.
Wow.
It is the most giving church I've ever seen in my life. And Pastor Randy, he gets up there on Sunday morning, he's wearing his blue jeans, his boots, his belt buckle, and his cowboy hat, and he gets up there and he preaches the gospel. And I mean, when he gives that call, that amazes me. People from all walks of life, young people, older people, middle age, are walking down that aisle. And it's just like, praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Now, Ron, are you saying that this pastor has the gall to ask for a public a public showing of a person's faith? You know, and I say that tongue in cheek because churches have moved away from that. We don't want to embarrass anybody. We don't want to put them on the spot. But boy, I tell you, there, I don't think there's anything in the world like an altar call to give people an opportunity to respond to the call of God in their life. We have so short-changed and short-circuited. The joy, of watching that. And I'm so, man, that makes me feel good. Thank you, Ron.
Not only that, Pastor Randy puts him in a circle and he prays with him. Right then and there. And he said, the Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Son of God, and you believe in your heart, and only God truly knows your heart, you will be saved.
Yep.
It's humble.
Yep.
Yeah.
You bet. I'm so glad you're a part of that. I'm glad you share things like that. I heard, that devastating tornado that just clobbered Kentucky and five other states. But I heard a pastor from one of the smaller towns outside Mayfield that was pretty well devastated. And he said, there's a time to attend church and there's time to do church. And this is the time to do it.
Yeah.
And boy, they have opened their doors and they're feeding people and
financial
needs. I mean, whatever God is opening the door to do, that it is so we have so much bad news today, but to hear the good news of the gospel sets men free, and to watch people do that, what a joy. You know, I'm so glad you get to experience that.
You know, I'm reminded when I've kind of vaguely heard about cowboy churches before I moved to Texas, you know, here and there, but you really don't quite know. And when I moved here, when I started with Man in the Mirror, again, part of my job is going to meet and build relationship with churches. Well, in our area here, there are at least six in my territory. And like you describe yours, most of them sit out near the highway and middle of a field. Two of them had tents when I first met with them. They've since built these kind of metal buildings. But it's the same thing, like you said. They're just real, raw, you know, no fluff, no fuss. You go in. And my first, you know, experience there, I was the most overdressed guy in the entire environment because I had a nice polo shirt on, nice pants.
But they Unstark Cowboy Church is the only church I've ever been to in my entire life where there's horse hockey in the parking lot.
Yeah. Well,
this one had horse hockey in the driveway all the way to the tent.
Yeah.
I carefully wiped with my nice shoes around. And I discovered after I got in there, they were all kind of snickering.
And only half the people that go there are cowboys. As a matter of fact, the big point each year is during the summer, they do a rodeo Bible camp.
Yes.
For teens, 13 to 18. They bring in world champion cowboys. Some of these kids never even seen a horse. They teach them how to ride. They teach them how to rope. And then on Sunday, or Saturday, they have a kid's rodeo where all their family can come.
Yeah.
And those kids have been there for 3 days. Men and young men and young women. But the most important thing is that after that rodeo, Pastor Randy and Pastor Darling brings them into the sanctuary. Mm. They sit on a stool and they say, would anybody like to give a testimony?
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you something, those kids, some of them came from broken homes. Some of them have been abused. They come from all over. And when they finish, there is not a dry eye in that place. And that is straight from the mouth of babe.
Mm-hmm.
It is wonderful. I've never seen anything like it.
Wow.
Go ahead, Ron. I would say the other thing that actually that surprised me was I did almost all of the cowboy churches in this area, North Texas, are part of the Nazarene Church, and I never knew that. They only have two separate sides of the Nazarene Church. I think their district or regional offices here, and then I ended up meeting with them, and they are the ones who connected me with three of those cowboy churches.
Wonderful.
So it's amazing. Whole new experience. If you haven't been to one or seen it, you know, it's an experience, trust me.
Wonderful.
And mind you, it only took one time for me to realize I was overdressed. And I
one time. Overdressed. The Holy Spirit said, this is where you belong.
Tank, what were you saying? Tank, what was that?
I was trying to imagine Ron in cut off short.
Hey.
Dr. Craig, I saw you and Stephanie on another program. You were talking about friends. And the first thing I did at that church is I volunteered to be a greeter.
Mm.
And that has been a blessing. I have met everybody at that church because I get to shake their hand and say, welcome, good morning. Mm. And then as they're leaving, I'll say, have a blessed week. And then I'll say something to the fact that, hey, y'all come back next week. We're open next week, too.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
So let me just pour in your life if I can. So I think one of your gifts, of which you have many, but especially the singles, is you made them all feel belong.
Yeah.
Whether you were in a ditch with four other guys or you were in a singles group that were 35-plus, you made them feel like they belonged. That's huge.
Yeah.
We all need to feel that way.
Absolutely.
Amen. Absolutely. Amen. That's right.
It's exactly. Important that it's done in a church. If you tried to have a single group, like off campus or something like that, I don't think it would work. As long as it's in a church, singles respect the house of God.
That's right.
Yeah. And that's the key to it, and let them speak. And the best thing to do is to be a great listener.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Be a great listener.
Ron, I watched you in action. You had everybody listening. They listened to your words. They, you know, it's like Tank said, you had a gift where people would sit back and listen. And those guys, like you said, diffuse that situation. That's awesome. Hey, I got just a couple of minutes here before we wrap out. Dr. Paul, anything you want to share?
Well, y'all may not know this, but Joe Schofield and I are both Cowboys. we went to Hardin Center.
That's
we
right.
Ring. We have the rings. We are bona fide Cowboys, whatever that means. And I would like to, I'd just like to close my part with just a real quick story. Do y'all know where Eolian, Texas is? You ever heard of Eolian? It's Eolian? Just 7 miles outside of Breckenridge. So, well, that helps. Well, I was the part-time pastor of this little church in Eolian, Texas, that was literally in the middle of a bean field. It had a corrugated tin roof. And I was preaching one hot Texas morning, and that's when I had a tie on and a jacket and the whole thing. And that corrugated tin roof, a wasp nest was over the pulpit. And this wasp came down, was buzzing around my head, and it was causing me some trouble. And, one of my deacons got up and came up and stood next to me, and he said, "Keep going." And I kept going, and he kept an eye on that wasp. And all of a sudden, he reached up and grabbed that thing and squashed it with his own hand and threw it down on the floor. And he said, "Now you go ahead, son. You preach the gospel." I tell you, that's what cowboys do. And I have never forgotten that. What an image. You go ahead and preach the gospel. I got the wasps. You know?
Oh, Lord. Almost as good as your chicken experience there, Paul. But that's
yeah, well, cowboys have a lot of experiences.
I
want to invite all of y'all to come down to Montgomery and go to Lone Star Cowboy Church with me anytime you're in town.
Well, thank you, brother. Thanks so much, Ron. That's great.
That's good.
Well, tell the church Merry Christmas for us, huh, guys? And tell the pastor and his wife, and we look forward to talking with them sometime, and just wish them the best of the season, and that God will use them in special ways. We got about 2 minutes, guys. Ron, Greer, anything, brother, real quick?
We never have enough time.
I know. We got to go to 2 hours. Yeah, we'll figure it.
I wanted some feedback on the books.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us about the book.
Tell them real quick where they can get your books. That's right. Come on.
They're on Amazon, or you can check out our website. It's thirdcoastbooks.com. That's 3rdcoastbooks.com.
Yeah.
So visit our website. Yeah. We've got several of our books that have movie contracts on them also.
All right.
That have films made. We're 360 Studios, Keith Barrow's executive producer. And just stay tuned.
All right. That's wonderful, Ron. That's wonderful. Well, I've been producing
another Tom Clancy upgrade, right? The Christian.
Well, it's kind of along the line of that series, This Present Darkness, only his is really something. There's three of them coming out, but I ran out of time. There they go. I hit five. There's the number on my screen. Boing! So, Ron Mumford, thanks, brother, for being with us tonight. And we appreciate it. And we'll be praying for you. We'll be talking to you soon. And from all of us, all of you, God bless you. And we'll talk to you real soon, okay?
My pleasure. Love meeting all y'all. God bless you.
God bless you.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, yippee-ki-yay. We got it.
Rick Kanye.
Yahoo. Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning in tonight, Raising Expectations. We'll look forward to seeing you all during the week. Go to our website, watch the program, and we'll be back again with a special next week on Alzheimer's. And so we hope you'll be with us and how you can bring joy to Christmas to the lives of people when you least expect it. We'll have Laura with us again from Encore with her husband, David. It's going to be great. All right, signing off. We'll look forward to wishing you a Merry Christmas again next week. You make it all worth it all. God bless. Let's keep, fill, restore, and give you a blessed week. We'll see you later.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556. Or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.